Alien Harding Ultrasound System is proudly sponsored by Innovate, the UK's best loved trail running company. And this August, it's August, everybody, 2024, we are giving away another pair of their incredible Trail Fly trail running shoes. These are the shoes that I wore for the Spine Challenger South back in June. And also, more recently, I wore them at the Lakeland 100. I didn't take the shoes off at all for either race except to change my socks. I didn't swap shoes out. Both races were 108 miles long with a load of vert. Took me over 30 hours. How many blisters did I get? None. How many injuries did I get? None. Because these are the greatest shoes ever made. They're perfect for training runs and longer races on hard ground and slippy, slidey mud. The graphene grip gives a hard-wearing traction on tough trails, stops you skidding on rocks and falling over and all that sort of stuff. And it's they're available in two fits, standard and wide. I cannot go on about these shoes enough. If you have a look at race photos, look at the lead women and men running, and you'll see that the majority of them are wearing these shoes. If you want to win a pair, then head to our Instagram page. The link to the competition is up in the link tree. Enter your details and away you go. Just to remind you, this podcast does contain some sweary language, maybe some adult themes, and possibly some very immature stuff as well. So maybe don't play in the car on the school run. We love you. On with the pod. Welcome to the Bailey and Reed Ultrasound System with me, Detective Superintendent Bailey, and my co-host, Special Constable Kirsty Reed.
Hello.
Now, Kirsty looks like she's vying for a promotion. Yeah, I'm quite honest.
Buying for a what?
Promotion.
Oh, promotion. Yeah. No, I know my place. I know my place.
Mm. Well, I think
I'm the enabler.
I think you're one of those special officers that's solving the crimes. And then I am the fat, annoying chief superintendent, I've just changed my title, who takes the credit, basically.
I wouldn't say fat, definitely. Obviously, that's not a word I would use. But no, that's not the case at all. Although, you know, I am the person who fills in the spreadsheets.
That's just, yeah. So I suppose, actually, maybe you have gone back down to a special police officer.
Yeah, I really am. You know, I don't know whether you've noticed this through our publishing endeavours, Ali, but I am the one behind the scenes, beavering away. You're very much the one up front.
You're the one that says no, stop it, and no, we can't do that. And I think that's illegal. Things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very comfortable with behind the scenes, filling in spreadsheets, doing the legwork,
doing the deep dive investigations.
That's my place in life.
How has your month been since I last saw you?
My month, good. I think lots and lots of training, basically, is what I've been doing. I did a T round a couple of weeks ago, which is really, really nice. Good day out. Doing lots of long hilly runs that I'm really enjoying.
With the tea round, right? I seem to think that because it's called the tea round, it starts at a tea shop. It's easy.
That's not my experience. That's the second time I've done it, and that's definitely not my experience of it. It starts at George Fisher, which is in the middle of Keswick, which is like an outdoor shop that's got a tea shop at the top of it. And the idea is, for people who don't know, it's all of the summits you can see from the tea shop window. So it was called Abraham's Tea Round, but like with all these things, big sponsors get involved, and then they change the name.
Why did they change the name?
I don't know, actually. I think just you know, to link it more with the shop. It was the Abraham's Tea Round for ages, and then it was the Montaigne Tea Round for a little while, and now it's a George Fisher.
Who's Abraham?
I don't know, actually. It must go back to like the original, because it's a really, really old route, I think. I think it's like bringing back like an old route. I should know this because I did an interview with somebody about it ages ago for a magazine. But it's a tough day out. Like, it's not one to undertake easily. Lots of big summits, little bits of scrambling, some really big climbs. If the weather's bad, there's some really exposed bits. But yeah, it's a tough day out. We stopped at Buttermere at the cafe.
Buttermere just sounds nice, doesn't it? Buttermere sounds like it's got full of scones.
It is, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you went through it at the Lakeland 100. Yeah, but in the daytime, in the summer, it's just absolutely packed tourists. So that's a bit annoying. But no, it's a great day out, but it's a long and it's a hard day out.
I want to know why it's called Abraham's Tea Round. Well, I will find out. I will do an investigation. Hey, also, if it's all of the summits you can see from the window of the tea shop, surely if it's claggy, you can only see two. You only have to do two. I think that's fair.
Can do. Actually, you can do the espresso round, which is about 10 miles as opposed to the full 30 miles.
They are so loose on their punnage, aren't they? Like espresso's got nothing to do with tea.
I know, I know. They could have called it the peppermint tea round for people who want like a milder
A milder,
beverage.
non-caffeinated version.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Anywho,
How about you?
chat.
What you been up to?
Me, I've been to Wales again, because I'm moving to Wales, guys. And I looked at a house and I did some running around, weirdly, around Tallabont Reservoir. I don't know. Well, I think I chose that because I was in that area, and I did that bit of, a bit from the bottom of the Tallabont Reservoir to the top of it, which is flat, but it's not flat. It's like an deciduous uphill, and it's horrible. And it's a bit that kills people. It kills people on many, many races because it's so boring. I did that, but then I got to the top, and then I went up the hill, towards the towards Penrhyn, and along that ridge. It's like this ridge, and it goes to where the there's a plane crash. I love it. You know how much I love a plane crash site. I found the plane crash site, and that was beautiful because at the top you could see Penrhyn over the other one side, and then along the other side you got the reservoir. It was absolutely delightful, but I'm still getting back into running after the Lakeland 100. And to be quite honest with you, I haven't found my, I don't know what's happened to me because I'm just fucking knackered all the time and really breathless. I feel like I'm working off one lung, which is nice. Don't know why. While I was up there that day, which was Sunday, there was another person up there, your friend, the one and only Shane Oley.
Oh, did you see him on his big Dragon's Back party?
I didn't see him on his big Dragon's Back party because he was laying down for most of it, according to social media, on the grass, in the long grass.
Oh.
But I was up there around about the same. I was thinking I might bump into him because he was coming across there at that point, but I didn't. But yeah, that was amazing, wasn't it? Like so for people that don't know, Shane Oley is the race director at Dragon's Back, and he did the whole course in a oneer. He started on Thursday, and it's 236 miles.
Something like that. I don't know
Yeah.
exactly.
Like 13,000 verts a day, 13,000 feet of vert a day. It's got some very big hills in it, and he decided to do it as a oneer. Why? We don't know, but he did. And he finished it yesterday, and it was amazing. It was just so incredible to watch because he started off all bouncy and fun. They did the first day of the Dragon's Back. He was with Robbie Cassidy, Damien, and what's her face, Lisa Watson, and they did it in 10 hours. And I thought to myself, that's a bit of a punchy start. And
Yeah.
it cracked on, but then obviously as he went on, he was more and more broken. But he always seemed to have a smile on his face. And the other thing that I noted was that his support team, his pacing team, was made up almost entirely of women.
Yeah, it's really good, isn't it? And the other thing I really liked about it, like I've got a lot of time for Shane, and he does so much for the community, but he's not, he's kind of a very humble man. And he's very much kind of behind the scenes. He doesn't have a social media profile, stuff like that. And I just thought it's such a lovely way for everybody who he's kind of supported over the years to kind of pay, not pay him back, but
You owe me.
just to be there to support him. I just think it's been really lovely to watch. And I've been sort of tracking him all week. And yeah, I think it's incredible. I know he's always wanted to run the race, but obviously he can never run his own race because he'd just be so distracted and people would just be bothering him the whole time. So I think it's yeah, I think it's amazing what he's done. I'm really, really big fan.
So listen to this. These are the women that he had on the route, right? I just loved it because I thought that the coverage really showed the depth of talent we've got in this country, and also that there are women out doing this stuff. It was really, it's really important to show that, right? Robin Cassidy, Lisa Watson, Zoe Murphy, Elaine Bisson, Claire Baker, Lisa Watson again, Emma Stewart, Kat Love, Kirsten Rosenquist, I can't say her name properly, Hannah Rickman, Emma Stewart again, Hannah Rickman again, Eleanor, and then they were all basically cycling around each other, like, to do different legs with him. And then obviously he had like Simon Roberts, James Nobles, he had a few other blokes with him, but they didn't really focus on them on socials. They mainly focused on the women pacing him. And I just thought that was an absolute move for many reasons. I think one of them was there's no ego with the women. There just isn't. So there's not going to be them like coming in fresh, running off and either making him feel like shit or he won't be able to keep up with them. And also they are just fucking brilliant when it comes to sort of pacing and being calm and like making better decisions. And I think that there was a very deliberate choice of pacers on that. very deliberate choice. And some of those people, women have done Dragon's Back, some of those people haven't. But I think that that is probably a nod to who will be doing Dragon's Back in the next couple of years, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Yeah.
I'm surprised I didn't see you out there, to be honest.
There's no, absolutely no way I'd be able to be fast enough.
We could, you could, I think we both could have done the last few legs.
Yeah.
When he was
But
laying down, I could have done the laying down bit.
I don't think I'd be top of the list, put it that way, and that's fine with me. I do support other people, but only people that I would be confident I wouldn't slow them up or ruin it for
I'm
everybody.
quite stressed in that he didn't ask me, but then, you know, I think it was probably the puns that he didn't, because I've got many Oli puns that I could have used on that race.
Sure. Could have been what you said about the race in the book as well, possibly.
Oh, maybe, yeah, there was that as well. I seem to be struggling as to why people don't talk to me anymore. And then I remember I wrote a book. So, yeah, there's that as well. Anywho,
I still talk to you, and I mean, probably, to be fair, I got the brunt of
you did get the brunt of it.
it.
Now I'm like, what? What did I write in that? What did I write in that fucking book? What did I write in that book? Anyway, how's your investigation? We've got done a few investigations. We've
We've
got a few
got.
investigations to look into this week,
We have. I
right?
put together. Did you see the crime sheet?
I've seen the crime sheet.
Okay. We've got minor misdemeanors against Strava. Then we've got an antisocial behaviour order that we need to talk about. But then, really, the crux of this today is the in-depth investigation.
I think we should start off with the minor misdemeanors first.
Okay, minor misdemeanors. Some of these will be very quick because some of them are just stupid, if I'm honest. Okay. Is it an ultra? Some of these are anonymous,
Have
but
they
can
been
we?
sent in to you?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Somebody that we would both know, but does not want to. They wanted their tip off. They phoned the tip off line.
We're trying to protect your
Crime
identity.
Stoppers.
We'll always
Yeah.
try and protect your identity. Yeah.
They phoned the running Crime Stoppers line.
Yeah.
Is it an ultra if you do several runs in one day that add up to 50K? What do you think?
Give me an example.
Somebody. Oh, this is just an example off the top of my head, and
Okay.
not a real
Okay, so like
example.
I'm thinking about lapped races, right? Say like a Big Bear lapped race. If you did
Oh
that and you
yeah.
stopped at the aid station for half an hour and then kept going.
Fine. Okay, well let's link this to the second minor misdemeanor. Okay. What do people do in the elapsed time window? Okay, in Strava, okay? So sometimes that's 20 minutes. So like if you and I go for a run, you like to take photos.
I've
We
got a dog.
like to play with pickle in the river. There's going to be like 20 minutes like unaccounted for.
Buttermere.
Buttermere Cafe, exactly. Yeah, on both my tea rounds, I think that's about a good half an hour at
What about the thing at Hollister Pass that we like to go on, the Via Ferrata?
the Via Ferrata, the cafe in there. We've been in the
Yeah,
cafe in there, haven't
cafe
we?
and Via Ferrata at Hollister.
Yeah. Okay. So we're talking half an hour, aren't we? What would you say if I said this same sort of thing that we're talking about, the multiple runs in a day? It was 8 hours of running versus 23 elapsed hours.
And how fast was the running?
Well, how to, I mean, what do you mean, minutes per mile or?
The thing is, right? The thing is, this sounds to me like somebody is going about their business with their watch on, and they're like, you know, when you've got a big day, I don't know, when you've got loads of jobs to do, but your car's in the garage, so you're just like walking to and from every fucking place you have to go to, and then you're
You've got to
stopping
go to the
at,
pet shop, B&Q. Yeah.
Lidl, Audi, other shops are available.
Yeah.
That's what that sounds like. And they go, oh, look at
Yeah.
me, I've done 25 miles today, even though your day has been 14 hours long and you haven't actually done an ultra. You can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't
Yeah.
claim that.
Yeah. Yeah. I 100%. I mean, yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm all for a little sit down and a cup of tea in the middle of an ultra. Once I've had a nap in the middle of a 100 miler. I'm all for that, and I think that's still an ultra. But I think if you just sort of do 5 miles here, go for a bit of a walk, maybe, I don't know, go to cinema. Maybe, I mean, what do you do in 23 hours? Like, that's a full
Have a
day's work,
sleep.
full day's sleep, and
You
like
have
a full
12, you have
evening.
12 hours sleep. Well, you don't have 12 hours, but I do. You might have 6 hours sleep. Where's this come from? Is this something that you notice is happening?
I mean, I think, for before Anna calls the lawyers, perhaps let's not name names. But yeah, no, it's just something I've been noticing on
What, on Strava?
on like a few people's Strava. They'll go on Instagram and they'll say, oh man, doing the work, done this, like run this ultra, done this. And then you look at their Strava and you think, actually, you haven't.
No, you haven't, have you? This is the thing. This is the problem. If you're going to go do this, right, listener, in your spare time and not make a fucking song and dance about it, you do you. If you want to wear your watch and have it on all the time, that's fine. It's when you make a thing of it where you're either like, I'm doing this. I'm going to, for example, just saying, break this record or maybe set this like only known time, right? But you're not doing it. You're actually taking the fucking piss out of the people that do do it and do put the work in. Like, that is beyond the realms of what I can understand. Because the thing is, people are going to look, aren't they? And when you go and
Oh,
you try
yeah.
and get, for example, that world record validated, aren't Guinness going to look at it and be like, no, mate, this is not
Yeah.
what you say it is? Because it really
Yeah.
isn't what you say it
Yeah.
is it? Because
And
if that's the case, we're all doing a fucking ultramarathon every fucking day, aren't we?
yeah. The person who sent this in actually made another very good point, which is why do you know the people who do the, I'm doing this record, I'm doing, big kind of charity run or whatever, why do they never do a route? They always do their own made-up route, don't they? They never do like, I'm going to do this Centurion South Downs Way 100, or they're never
They never do an event, do they? They
they
don't
never
have
do an
an
event,
event history.
but they just make up a route, don't they? So they'll just like run around and around and around and around, and then go, yeah, I've now got the world record for running round and round around Milton Keynes or something.
Yeah, they do like every street in their fucking like area. Yeah, they run up like every
Yeah.
cul-de-sac. So like I think that's really interesting. The other day I was listening to a podcast that you recommended, the Neil Gaiman podcast.
Oh no,
Very, very
don't recommend it.
traumatizing.
It's so
We're not gonna
traumatic. Yeah.
talk about it, right?
Please don't listen to
But
it.
in the investigation, they talk about people having a sexual fingerprint, so how they behave all the fucking time, right? And with the runners who do this sort of thing, or like the sort of slightly Walter Mitty fantasist, narcissist, sociopath runners, to use a loose term that I've just coined,
Yeah.
trips off the tongue, they've got this footprint. Which the fingerprint, which is the same every time, because they
Yeah,
don't
yeah.
actually. If you look at these people that have got these world records, and I was thinking about this because James Elson is trying to make the South Downs Way the biggest, most competitive female field ever, right? So I'm talking to loads of my mates, and being like, you should go do the South Downs Way. Blah, 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 blah. None of those people, everybody, are the people that we're referring to, just so you know. But when you look at someone like, let's take for example, the hardest geezer, right? How many actual ultramarathons has he done? Like organized ones, like the Arc or like the Centurion races or the Punk Panther races or local races or like anything like that.
No idea.
A
No
lot of,
idea.
not very many, I don't think. Not, and a lot of the people that are doing these world records or like trying to be like, I'm going to do 700 fucking half marathons in 700 days have never or don't do events. It's like they can't be
Yeah.
bound by the rules,
Yeah,
isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, it's a very good point. It's a very good point. And I think if we sound mean right now, which we probably do, because a lot of the time I'm quite torn because I think, well, they're doing something good for charity. They're potentially kind of, encouraging people to get active and that sort of stuff, which is all great. But then the other side of that is I sometimes think, well, but are they just doing it for attention for themselves?
Right.
But I think the reason that we're mean about this is because we do things like stand on the finish line of Gran Turismo, see how hard those people have worked, and how much training they've put in, how this is like the hardest thing they've ever done. They've been up Skiddaw, they've come down a ski slope, they've done all this,
They've given us a
kind of
fucking heart attack, Fiona Wallace, by coming in with
yeah.
seconds to spare in the dark.
We should talk about that. But yeah, you sort of see that side of it, and then you just think, I just think, God, I've got so much respect for those people. And then you see the other people who just kind of invent their own challenge, and then they've got like 4 billion Instagram followers.
But the thing is, right, a lot of them don't have 4 billion Instagram followers.
No,
Just
fair
they
enough.
want 4 billion Instagram followers. And I think you said something to me once that has stuck with me so much. And that is, would these people do this if nobody was watching? And the answer is no, they would not do it if nobody was watching. they don't give two fucks about the amount of money that they raise for charity. I'm sorry, but they don't. And you can see it in the way they're presenting themselves, because the people that do raise a lot of money for charity are quiet and they are considered and they fucking work their bollocks off. This is a case of look at me. It's an absolute case of look at me. And it's a case of getting away with as much as you possibly can get away with in order to make people look at you and think that you're doing something amazing. It's just not in the spirit of the sport, I don't think. To say, yeah, I've run an ultra marathon, I'm doing back-to-back ultra marathons, and today I've done my first marathon of the, or ultra marathon of the thing. It's taken me 8 hours. You're like, oh, that's interesting. But then you look at their Strava and actually the elapsed time is 24 hours. Mm. They've done a jog here, a jog there, a bit of jogging to the shop, a bit of jogging back, sat in front of the TV for 4 hours, had a wank, gone out, done a little bit more jogging. That isn't doing back-to-back ultra marathons. And as someone that knows people that has done that, and has run across America or have like done this stuff, it just takes the fucking piss. And it's like, it's just fame hungry bullshit. And and the thing is, when people see that, they're like, oh, that's how you do it, is it? That's not how you do it. And if you enter an event, you'll realize that you can't get away with that. Like, you do have to like run a bit more than that. You do have to meet cutoffs. You do have to like work hard and train hard. I think that's the thing. And then people get put off and they don't do it again. So as much as it is inspiring people to get moving, it's also giving people the wrong idea about what the actual sport is about. Drives me fucking
berserk. Yeah, there was a real like, probably shouldn't get into this, but there was a real like spell of people doing Le Jog a while back, mm-hmm. like a few years ago. There was that Mark Vaz one. I think it's okay to name Mark Vaz. Sorry, Anna. but there's lots of articles. There's lots of newspaper articles you could refer to. You know, he was claiming to have beaten, what's his name, Andy Thingy's time, which is sort of since proven to be kind of very unreliable. And he had absolutely no pedigree whatsoever. And then I remember another, like a woman setting off, and she had this massive like RV. And I was just thinking, like, how is she going to get that down all these little roads and stuff? And then anyway, on about day two, she was crying on the, is it the A9? just kind of going, I didn't realise it was so busy on the road and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, how could you do this and get all this sponsorship and have like a massive RV and all of this and never actually do that research or do the, you know, the recces, or it just doesn't show it any respect, does it? And I just don't have any time for it.
I think some people look at it as a quick way to get famous. I'm going to do that. Quick way to get famous. It's like, it's expensive. It takes an enormous toll on your body. It is, you have to be so considered with it. It takes years of planning. You need a massive support crew who know what they're doing. And you need to be absolutely mentally and physically fit. And that takes years. Like there was in lockdown, there was a spate of Le Jog. And people were like, yeah, I'm doing Le Jog. Are you virtually at home on a treadmill? Yeah. And that's fine. Yeah. But you need to say straight away, virtually at home on a treadmill. You need to say that.
It's like around my important. Sofa or whatever it was.
It's very important. So so our investigation has found that this is what people do. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's minor misdemeanors, I guess. We could go for a lighter one now.
Oh, have we got a lighter one? Have we had a voice note? Should we play the voice note?
Oh yeah, but it's about like 5 minutes long, isn't it?
It's fine, we'll just play it.
Okay, all right.
Dear Bailey and Reed Investigates, I hope you can help. I'm desperate. I've been the victim of a terrible running crime. On the date of the 9th of August, Friday, 2024, I went for a run around Blencathra. My usually excellent Sunto Vertical recorded the run as 7,000 foot of verts. I was very happy, because I'm training for the Tour de Gion and there's lots of verts. So I need my verts in training. The day before, I got 9,000 foot of verts in. That was a good day. This was also a good day. However, when I uploaded it to Strava to prove how much verts I got, to try and get lots of kudos and impress the world, it said it was only 3,500 foot of verts. I am distraught. It's a daylight robbery. That is one of the worst running crimes that can possibly happen. I would love you to look into this, please, and try and solve this injustice. I know in particular that Special Constable Reed is a professor in mathematics. I look forward to your response. Yours in running crimes, Damien.
Okay, so that seemed to be quite an angry or disappointed. I think that's the sound of a battered ego, to be quite frank, of that voice note.
Right. Okay, I can't remember the voice or what the voice. I think it was about the elevation being wrong, wasn't it?
It was
About
an angry
it was
Damien Hall who's got the elevation
overestimated.
wrong. Yes.
Overestimated. So
Yes.
this is quite an easy investigation for me. So this is something we
I
look
just
at on
want to tell
Scamper.
you for full, what's the word?
Disclosure.
Disclosure. I was with Mr. Hall when this misdemeanor happened, right? And I was on that run with him. Now, he said this run has got 7,000 verts on it. And I said, I don't think it has, because I looked at it and I went, I don't think it has. And he went, no, I think it has. And I went, okay, then. Now, as we were running around, like, oh, we've done 2,000 verts already. I'm like, no, we haven't, because I know what they feel like. He was like, yes, we have. Now, he's quite an experienced athlete. Some might say world class, right? I'm like, what are your drugs? As we kept going, he was more and more excited about the amount of verts. And he even said, as we were going down the hill, it was Mung Grisdale we were in, the verts were going up as he was running down the hill on his watch. The feet were going up as he was running down the hill. When we got to the end, he was thrilled. And I was like, no. And he's like, how much does your watch say? And I was like, my watch says 3,895 verts. And your watch says 7,000 verts. I think mine is right. He's like, I don't know. Maybe we're just a lot fitter now, so it feels easier. This is a man that has lots of experience, right? So I think there's something else in play here. A bit of ego along with watch. But I am interested in why the watch does that.
Okay, I can't comment on the ego, but I can comment on the watch.
Perfect.
So firstly, no two watches are ever the same. So if you do a run with your friend, it's never ever going to be the same, because every watch will calculate the elevation slightly differently. And also, there is no definitive kind of elevation for a route. Like sometimes you see, like you go to a race route and it'll say 4,000 meters, and people's GPX will say 4,200, and somebody else's, Strava will say whatever. There is no definitive thing. So there's always going to be like a little bit out. The second thing to say, this is probably the most boring investigation we've ever done. Sorry.
Actually, I don't think it is a boring investigation, because I have had not rows, but like arguments with people where it's like Julius, especially. Hello, Julius, where we argue about what the watch has said. And
Yeah,
like,
Julie.
what's really interesting though is you put a route into Garmin Connect and it says there's 3,500 verts. You put the same route into OS and it says there's 6,500 verts.
Yeah.
It's like, how the fuck are people getting these verts? And
I
it's for
well
big race companies, how are they getting the verts?
yeah. Well, I mean, I can tell you why that is. There's two ways that watches calculate your elevation. One is like a barometric altimeter. So that measures the atmospheric pressure. So as you're going up, the atmospheric pressure decreases with altitude. So that's how it kind of calculates it. The other way is GPS, and the way that GPS does it calculates your points, obviously, from the satellites, and then it cross-references that with known points in elevation databases. So like OS Maps will have their own elevation database, Garmin Connect, etc. They've all got their own kind of elevation models. So when you put the information, when you pass the information through those things, they will like recalculate it if you've got a GPS watch. Sorry, if it's calculated it by GPS. But I'm sure Damien's got a very good watch, and I'm sure you've got a very good watch.
He's got a Suunto, my first watch, Sony watch.
Oh, okay. Okay. So maybe it isn't barometric then. So maybe that's the answer, possibly, is that his is GPS, which is not as accurate as barometric altimeters. So I've got a Fenix, a Garmin Fenix 7. That's barometric altimeter. So that's the first thing to check, whether it's barometric altimeter in your watch. If it is a barometric altimeter, it's too early in the morning to be saying that a lot. It's more accurate, but you have to recalibrate it. So,
Right.
yeah, if you're not doing that regularly, then it will probably be inaccurate. But you can set, so I've got mine set so it automatically recalibrates regularly.
What if you wear it in an altitude tent?
I wouldn't have. Well, yeah, I don't
Would
know,
that make a
actually.
difference? Because the thing is, the tent, it's got like, obviously, it's only the top half of your body, right? So if your watch was in the tent, would that make a difference? Because I don't think it would. Or
If
would
it
it?
was. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer. Not if it's a GPS watch, obviously, but if it's a barometric altimeter, I don't know the answer to that.
Or if you're in an altitude tent or wearing a mask or whatever, and it senses that your breathing is different, so it might think that you're at a higher altitude than you are, so it might recalibrate itself. Because he's obviously been doing quite a lot of verti verts for the tour, But when he put it into Strava, he recalibrated it in Strava and it just took half the verts off.
Yeah.
Because you can do that afterwards, can't you? You can
recalibrate
because
it in Strava. He puts it through Strava. Strava look at it against their own elevation database and models, and that's how it recalibrates it. So that's the best. If you think you've got inaccurate data, putting it through Strava or Garmin Connect or something like that is the best way to try and make it more accurate. But the problem is most people, they just go, oh, I know that's wrong, but I love that.
Exactly. So the first thing you do is take a screen grab as soon as it's uploaded and you use that screen grab for Instagram, then you recalibrate it.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
I wait for us to investigate.
If that's what's important to you,
yeah,
then I would say do that.
Yeah, that's what I think as well. 100%. Yeah. That's what I would do. I'd be like, there's 7 billion verts on that. Sometimes when I used to fly a lot, but I don't anymore, my watch would really go mad on the verts. And I think it was because I was flying quite a lot. And so it was like, it just went mad. So there was a time when my verts were 10,000 more than everybody else's. It was very dramatic, my watch. I had to keep recalibrating it.
Yeah. Like your gloves.
What gloves?
Your drama gloves.
My drama gloves, yeah. I've got dramatic watch and dramatic gloves. Oh, you know what? I found a pair of gloves. By the way, if the person who owns this gloves is listening, it's too little, too late. I did make an announcement. They're mine now. That pair of gloves I found at Gran Turoscador on the floor are amazing.
Yeah, they look really good.
Yeah, they
are. How much did you got those?
Yeah, brilliant. You could borrow them if you want for the tour. They're really, really, really nice.
Yeah, I've been borrowing loads. My spare room that I'm in at the moment is completely full of kit that I've borrowed off people at the moment. So,
how exciting. Me and Kirsty are going on a holiday together. And the next time you speak to us, we would have both been on the holiday together. My holiday's going to be relaxing.
Yeah,
yours
mine's a,
is not.
Mine's a 150-hour Italian walking holiday.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to it.
Bit with ice cream and Bailey Bats all the way. I've got some really good new made-up jokes. Do you want to hear this? Actually, no, I'm going to save that one. Okay, two rounds.
Oh, good.
Yes, ultraverts. Yes, we've solved that for Damien. All right, you've solved.
One final thing on watch accuracy is you can have different recording intervals. So like it can be like a second or a minute or 10 minutes, you know, so you have it on, say, battery, like ultra track or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And that can make it less accurate as well.
Oh.
Obviously
I know on ultra track because I think it makes the map less accurate. So if you're on something where you really need to see a map and it's on ultra track, you can tell you're off course when you're absolutely not off course, or tell you're on course when you're absolutely not on course. So I tend to avoid that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Cool. Solved. Next
Solved.
Crime.
I love this. It's brilliant. I think we've got the next crime is a big investigation, the big investigative crime.
Actually, the next one is an antisocial behaviour order.
We're going to slap an ASBO on somebody.
We are. So, well, on many people, potentially. Oh. So this is a question from Crystal Garnett, friend of mine, friend of yours. Why do people, and in brackets men, feel the need to say something to women that they meet on the trail? They just can't go past, can they, without saying something?
Yeah.
And they always go, oh, you're a lot fitter than me, love. Oh, I used to do a bit of running, but my knees are too bad now. Or they ask you, like, where have you come from? Where are you going to? And stuff like that.
How far have you come?
How far
we get
have
that
you
a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Do they? So that's, here's the investigation, right? Do they do that to men?
I don't know. But part of me is like, are they doing it to make the woman aware that they're there? So there's two sides to this, right? First is you could just say good morning. I just say good morning to everybody that I've run
past. I say good morning.
Hello.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
I keep a tally of how many people have said good morning back.
Yeah.
If you're in London, it's zero.
And I have a photographic memory, so I always remember. So if that person that says hello to me in Audi 7 or 8 weeks later, I ignore them.
Yeah.
So but that's it. If I'm walking the dog, someone runs past, I'm never like, oh, you know, or runs past. I just don't say anything. I just never would say anything for absolutely no interest.
Yeah.
Now, is it because men are like, they know that women don't like to be surprised on the trail, so they're just trying to make conversation to be like, oh, I'm here.
Yeah.
Or is it like genuinely that thing of, oh, you're a bit fit, oh, you're faster than me. Do you remember the other week, Holly said that she had a bloke say to her when she ran past him, that's embarrassing. Well, that's embarrassing. It's like, what the fuck? Like, because she ran past him twice? This is quite interesting. It's quite an interesting one. Because you're right. I've never had a woman say it to me, but the only people that have ever said it to me are men.
Yeah, and also, so Crystal, if she's out with her lovely husband, Rich, and their lovely dog, Meg.
They're a lovely quadruplet. No, triplet. They're a lovely
they
triplets,
are.
Aren't they? The triumvirate of joy, they are.
Yeah, they're nice people. They, you know, people won't, they won't say anything. It just tends to be if you're on your own. And genuinely, I don't know whether... if a man runs past a man, they say, they say the same. They go, oh, you're a lot fitter than me, mate. Or
Right.
whether
Having
it's
been out with a man recently quite a lot, they don't. If I'm out with this, if I'm out with Damien, I'm always saying good morning to people. So I'm like, good morning, good morning, good morning. That's all. Hi, hello. That's it. Part of it is to make them know that I'm on the trail. So if I'm behind them or if they've stood aside, he sometimes says hello, but very rarely, but they rarely say anything to him. Maybe because they've already said it to me. I don't know. This, I think that we'd need to get a third opinion on this, but you're absolutely right. But now I'm thinking about it. I'm getting all these examples coming
I
back
know.
like a tidal wave.
Maybe we need feedback on this. And the other thing that annoys me about this is whenever someone says to me, like, oh, you're a lot fitter than me. Oh, do you want to get past? You're a lot faster than I am. My natural reaction is always to go, oh, no, I don't think I am. Or like, oh, no, this is my top speed. And it's always like a self-deprecating kind of reaction, isn't it? And I don't know why that is either. And I need to stop doing that.
Is
But yeah,
it?
maybe.
If you've ever said sorry, oh, sorry.
Probably it's my most used word, I think.
Yeah, I think it is. I've just started re-listening to Invisible Women in the Car, the book by Carlo Perez Perez or whatever her name is. She's amazing.
Criado Perez or something.
That's her. So I'm getting more and more angry about things, but I'm like, I need to re-listen to this because there's a few things that I'm doing at the moment that do center around this. And it is endemic to us to be like, oh no, am I causing you a problem? Okay, I won't cause you a problem. So if they're like, you're better than me, or they give it, I guess they're trying to give a compliment. Either they're trying to give a compliment, I doubt they're trying to chat me up, but I don't know, or I don't know what it is, but it's a compliment, a bit like nice ass. Didn't ask for it, don't want it, not really interested. It is also very judgment based, isn't it? How fast you are, because if that's Tom Evans, then he's not going to say anything. But if it's the bloke who's only ever run 1 kilometre at sports day, he's going to say something different. But the thing is, you didn't ask for them to judge your pace or how good you were at running. So you don't, there's no room for that. A simple good morning is fine, right? But again, that thing of like, oh no, I'm not. That default, like, oh no, I'm not. That's like a meekness and a, female thing. I really feel like it's a female thing. I feel like men would be like, thanks.
Maybe we need feedback on this.
We'll get some feedback on it. Men, do you get this on the trail? I'm going to ask on Instagram, put an Instagram post up about this. And also, what do you say to people? Do you ever say anything to people when you're walking along with your family and a runner comes past? Do you ever say anything? Or when you're jogging along and a woman jogs the other way or overtakes you, have you ever said anything? Would you ever say anything? Now, I'm telling you now not to. Just don't. Just say good morning and that is it. We don't need to do any more of that. Anyway, next, this is the big one, isn't it? So hang on a
This
minute.
is
Have
the
we
big one.
finished? We're very bad at finishing the investigations, aren't we?
I think, we've solved
Signing them
all the
off.
crimes. We've solved the minor misdemeanors and the anti we've slapped an un well, the antisocial behaviour order is it's pending. We need to just sign the ink on it if we get some feedback from the listeners.
Yeah, and the antisocial behaviour order is comments that were not asked for about judgments on the pace of female runners on normal trail runs.
Or just any like that need to say something, isn't it? It's that need to to just sort of make some sort of judgment or comment.
Maybe it's, I feel like there is a slight bit of people just think they're being nice, but it's like, just don't.
I've
Morning.
done it myself, when I went when I came out to support you, not as in crew, but as in just say well done at the Lakeland 100. I said to it was really early in the morning, and I said to this woman, I said, "Oh, you're the first woman I've seen," and she goes, "Oh my God!" And I went, "No, I don't mean first lady. I meant like I could literally just see like 30 men, and then all of a sudden, like her just as the first woman. And I was like, "Oh God, that is just the worst possible thing you could say to somebody, isn't it?"
I think it's more a reflection of the fact she was the first one you'd seen because there wasn't that many women.
But I felt I just felt terrible about it. I mean, clearly I still feel terrible about it. I can feel myself reddening up thinking about it. Anyway, let's move along.
Okay, what's the big investigation today? What have you got? What have you got for us?
The big investigation here is ultra runner professions. What are because so you and I, right, we run with a lot of people who are like doctors, vets, stuff like that. So Gilbert's just come in. So then I start to think, Oh, what makes doctors? Why is there a lot of why are there a lot of doctors in ultra running or vets in ultra running or whatever? So I thought, oh, is there like a sort of a link here? Is there something within those professions that makes people really good at it? So then I started a deep dive of what professions are the top ultra runner the top ultra runners do. And whether there are any kind of aspects of their job. So for instance, the things I've looked at, like somebody said to me, oh, doctors, vets and stuff, high achievers, they're just high achievers. So like if you go into running, you're obviously going to want to kind of push yourself to be the best. So, that's one aspect, working long hours. That's another aspect. Oh, you're making notes. I've never seen you make notes before.
I'm really interested in this.
Oh, okay. Problem solving. Problem solving is a massive part of ultra running, isn't it? And in a lot of these jobs, that's a really big part of it. Imagine being a vet and a dog, imagine Pickle coming in and saying, Pickle's got a sore paw, she's limping, I don't know
Oh,
why.
this is something more serious then. I was like, please don't, not now. It's 8:35 in the morning. I can't.
No. And then things like training benefits. So like are the things within that job that actually make you
Let's just cut to the chase here.
yeah.
Right?
Okay.
They've got access to drugs.
Yeah, that is okay.
Okay? Vets,
Okay,
doctors, nurses, physios, all those people have got
Anna,
access to
this is
drugs.
Anna on the phone to the media lawyer.
I'm not saying anything about the drugs. I'm just saying,
Yeah.
look, they have got access to drugs.
So this is yeah, so th this is one of the columns on the spreadsheet.
Drugs.
But yeah, so I don't think it's necessarily they're using their own drugs, but they're not getting high on their own supply.
They're swapping drugs with each other.
No, but the thing is, I think they understand physiologically, like, oh, I could, if I took two paracetamol now, that would do this or whatever. If I took an anti-sickness drug that I've stolen from a child with cancer, for instance, just slipped into my pocket. No, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. But you know what I mean? I think they maybe have an understanding of these things that we don't have. So I'm not suggesting for one second that they steal drugs from hospitals and take them during ultras.
None of us are suggesting that these people take
No.
drugs. We just want that to be very clear. This is supposed to be funny. We are making this funny.
Yeah.
So, but I think I would like to know, question. Are there any vets or doctors or people that work in hospitals who are ultra runners that are bag average, who just aren't very good, who keep DNFing, who can't get it right? I suppose. We need to know that. So if you are a
Yeah.
vet or a doctor or work in a hospital or any of those professions, these professions we're about to mention, and you're not very good, can you please step forward? I mean, say you're not very good, bang average is fine. Like, it's fine. It's not a judgment. We're just asking you on the scheme of how quickly you can finish a race, where are you? Please.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I think it's quite so we've got how driven they are, the problem solving aspect of it. What
Yeah.
else do you think there is? Or maybe the lack of sleep because they work shifts.
Yeah, that's yeah, long hours. Yeah, that's definitely one of it. And what like another so another thing I've got is scientific mindset, which I think is
Yeah.
connected to what we're talking about drugs, but this could be a really important one, I think. The ability to deal with awfulness slash emotional resilience. So imagine if you're a doctor, you're dealing with awfulness on a daily basis. Like, does that then help you? When you're in the deep in despair in an ultra, that you're thinking, this is terrible. But this morning I was doing this for this child, and that was much worse. So, or does it give you this kind of well of resilience, that maybe normal people who work in perhaps publishing or online coaching don't have?
I think that there is a part of it where they can switch it off. So, I've got a client who is she works with neck and brain injuries a lot of the time in children, like very like immediate ones, like if she's straight like, oh my God, this has happened, we need to get to an operation now. And what's really interesting about her is we have lots of things that we're working through together, which I think she should be better at because she does this job, right? But she once said to me, the only reason I've got that job is because people like me. And I'm like, are you fucking mental? It's not because people like you, it's because you're really very qualified and very, very good at it. And she's get so actually, I've just answered my question because she has these wobbles, but she does this incredible job, right? And very good at it. But I think it might be something to do with switching off. So when you have a dog in front of you have to cut the dog open and take a tumor out, and you don't know if the dog's going to survive, you have to switch it off, don't you? You've got to switch off that empathetic bit of your brain. And it has to go into science mode, into like, right, problem solving strategy. We're going to do this, 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 and this. And I don't care how much it hurts me. And I don't care how much it hurts the animal. Like, the animal is asleep. I'm just going to crack on with it. And I don't really, I don't, the other thing is, I don't might care what the outcome is, because I've just got to concentrate on what I'm doing. So with
Yeah.
that in mind, if you think about running, not caring about the outcome and just being really in the moment of what you're doing, and being able to switch off probably like the pain receptors, or the like, oh my God, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, this is terrible, is probably a really good skill to have, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
Because I
Yeah.
think sometimes I am able to do that because of the depression and the drinking and the awfulness of that. And some even when I'm throwing my toys out the pram and having like a right old ratty, I thought this was a niche sport moment, I'm able to go, you've dealt with worse, so you could deal with this. But I'm not able to completely switch it off because I've not been trained how to do that. But if you think about doctors and vets, they've been trained to do that, haven't they?
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. It's all part of it, isn't
Hmm.
it? Yeah. So shall I run through some of the examples we've got?
Yes, run
Because
through
this is
some of
just
the
like
examples you've
a massive shout out to loads of my heroes. So
got.
it's interesting though. I think it's really interesting. So in doctors, right? I've got Hannah Rickman,
Yeah.
Sam Lissauer,
Yeah.
amazing woman, Beth Pascal,
Yeah.
like absolutely one of the greatest runners ever, Finley Wilde.
Yeah.
Lucy Gossage,
Oh,
Elsie
God.
Davis. You know, there's a lot. There are a lot of the top runners who are doctors, and then also sort of allied to that, I've got nurses. So I've got Rory Bosio, Rachel Belmont, Sally McRae used to be a nurse. Devon Yanko apparently used to be a nurse, and you'll notice a lot of those are female, and that in itself is interesting because when I was doing this, I thought, is it my bias that a lot of these are female, or is it that it's still easier for men to get sponsorship money? So a lot of the press, a lot of the elite male runners, maybe don't work normal jobs in the same way. I don't know. I don't know that. I don't know the answer whether that's my bias or whether that is the case. But
Kat Simpson is a nurse.
Kat Simpson, of course. Yeah, sorry, Kat. One thing I've got here for both female doctors and nurses is it prepares you mentally for men objectifying you, and also mansplaining.
Oh, I tell you, I've just worked. Remember Laura Swanson Revell, and she works in the radiography department. So I don't think she's actually a nurse, but she does work in that, in breast cancer and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
There's another one. That is really interesting.
I was sort of joking, but I mean, I'm sure there is a lot of that in the medical profession, isn't there?
You
Kind of
have
like,
to
oh,
be. Yeah, but you have to
can I
be
see a male
resi
doctor?
you have to be okay. My friend Hannah, she is an event nurse, event safety nurse, right? She's a oh, she's not a nurse, sorry, she's a doctor. That's the whole point of the story. She is an A&E doctor, and she works in event safety. And she once had a guy come in, and he would come off a construction site, and he had a glass in his eye. And he was like, she was like, right, you need to lay down. I need to have a look at it. She had a look at it, and it was really complicated. She was like, if I take this out wrong, I'm going to blind him, right? So she was like taking a long time. He's like, how long is this going to fucking take, love? She was like, it's going to take as long as it takes. I don't want to blind you. And he went, I tell you what, why don't you just go and get a bloke? There's a doctor standing over you with a pair of tweezers about to take some glass out of your eye. He's just said to her, why don't you go and get a bloke? She
Oh,
was like, it was so tempting. Just so tempting. But I didn't. Told him
yeah.
there was only male nurses available, and I'd happily get one for him. But actually, I was very qualified, and he eventually shut up. But she was like, I was furious. Never said thank you. I think that's really interesting, because it might be that you develop a resilience that gives you a confidence, maybe,
Yeah, maybe,
to
maybe.
completely be able to block that stuff out.
Yeah. And I guess similar as vets, blows my mind the amount of people that are vets. So obviously JP,
Yeah, the big
the queen,
JP. Yeah. I reckon that
the queen of ultra running.
JP and Noel Fitzpatrick should have a show together called the Super Super Vets. It would be amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And she would like run
Oh,
between. Could you just?
she could
She
run
could
to
do.
the emergencies.
Yeah, Noel would just say, could you take this cat to a surgery 300 miles away? And she'd go, no problem.
Exactly. Put it in her backpack and off she goes.
Yeah. But don't go down the nice trail. Go over through the woods down the back of the
Yeah.
scree.
She knows all of the paths anyway, because she just knows everything.
Yeah. So yeah, Jasmine Paris, Sabrina Virgie, Emma Stewart, Kat Bradley, she's a vet technician, and apparently Ruth Croft studied veterinary science as well. I've done a lot of research on this, you know.
I'm loving this. This is so good. This
It's,
is
but
the
isn't
best
it
episode ever.
interesting?
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting?
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, so like doctors, vets, etc., high achievers. They work really long hours. They work shifts. They're probably good with lack of sleep. They're really, really high on the problem-solving scale. Access to drugs is high. Knowledge, let's call it knowledge of drugs. Knowledge of
Yeah.
drugs.
Yeah. Knowledge
Scientific
of what drugs is, your
mindset.
physiology is high.
Yeah, scientific mindset, very, very much so. And emotional resilience, I mean, yeah, off the charts, isn't it?
Yeah.
So yeah, I just think it's interesting. Then I thought about the military. So, you know,
The
Tom Evans,
military. Oh.
Donnie Campbell,
Oh.
Anna Marie Watson.
Oh.
There's loads. I probably could put
David
a lot more on that.
Goggins.
David Goggins. The
David
ultra. Do
Goggins.
you know, I was in Italy the other week, right? And there's in Robbie and Natalie's village, the people I was staying with. It's a tiny, tiny village in the middle of nowhere. You don't get any tourists. Nobody speaks English. And there's a local shop where you can go in. There's a vending machine where you can buy chocolate, but you have to go in and pay for it inside the shop, bizarrely, or get your change from inside the shop. It's really, really kind of like not very sort of, you know, cosmopolitan, let's say. And it had some children's books in Italian, some other books in Italian, one book in English. What do you think it was?
Can't hurt me, David Goggins.
Yeah.
The Bi AKA the Bible.
The Bible. Exactly, Gil. No,
Yeah, Giblet
exactly.
likes it. Giblet, it's like, stay hard, motherfuckers. Okay, so David Goggins in the military as well. Anyone else?
That
Jason
was it for
Fox,
military.
Mark Billy Billingham, Rudy
Oh
Rees.
yeah. Yeah, I mean, not classic ultra runners,
But my faves. Jay
but
Morton, he's an ultra runner. He was in the SAS. Reserves. Reserves.
okay. So, but yeah, I mean, basically, what's the training benefit? Obviously, very high. It's professional rucking, is what it is.
Professional rucking. Paul Allen. He was in the he's a professional rucker.
I was in cadets.
Kirsty Reid was in Cadets. Anyone else that we can think of?
No, there's loads in the military, but I just didn't go too deep down there. But
I think the ones in the military are have a different skill set. Mainly just being knobheads is the skill set.
okay. Well, in emotional resilience, I just put basically abuse.
Perfect.
It's
Yeah.
basically being abused, isn't it, for however many years?
Yeah.
But yeah, could be something in that. Could be something in that.
Engineers. I'm thinking about the engineers that you see through the Barclay. There's a lot of engineers. Well, a few engineers. John is an engineer.
Oh yeah, John. Yeah.
And I think some of the others are engineers. Some of the I feel like matey boy with the eyes is an engineer. Jared. Is he an engineer or a dentist? Jared Campbell.
Don't know.
Gotta check.
Don't know.
Don't worry, I'll check. Is there any others that are there's any other groupings?
I got loads. So a teacher, Courtney DeWalter.
A teacher.
She was a teacher. A lot of drugs confiscated from students, I imagine. Obviously, a lot of ability to be resilient because you're basically just going to be abused by small children all day.
True.
So yeah, lawyers, Stephanie Case,
Oh,
Amelia Boone.
yeah. Yeah. Again, it's like that resilience, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that almost like the visualization of the outcome that you want. Like with lawyers, they're like, this is the outcome I want. I'm going to work backwards. How am I going to get this outcome that I want?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And it is interesting. It is interesting, isn't it? I've got other things like physios. There's a lot of physios. But I wonder whether people sort of pursue a career as a physio because they are already runners. So you got like Paul Tierney, Sally Fawcett, Joe Meek, Scout Adkin, Sarah Tunstall. Three of those are at the same physio practice, interestingly.
Wow, I want to go there. Is it expensive?
It is expensive, but very good. But they're dealing with moaning runners all day long, so their resilience is high.
Yeah.
They're
And
just dealing with
they're also
people.
dealing with runners that come in and be like, oh, right, so Joe Meek's going to see me. So I'm going to be like, yeah, I've actually just finished the Loch Ness Marathon. And she's got to be like, yeah, okay, cool. Do you want to shut up now while I do this? While I sort out
While I
your
go win
Achilles?
dragons back.
Yeah, while I go sort out your Achilles because you haven't been doing your strength and conditioning, even though you've told me that you have, but I can actually see that you haven't. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, and then you've got your kind of manual professions like builders, carpenters, stuff like that. So Pat Robbins, did you say Jack Scott used
Jack
to be a
Scott does weld. He does lots of big things with metal, doesn't he?
Don't know.
Yeah, he's like a Weldy Messerly guy. Rye Webb, yeah.
Yeah, so obviously lots and lots of strength, kind of, you know, stuff walking around all day, lots of physical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know what the answer is as to what the best career. So if I had a kid now and I wanted them, which is not going to happen, but if
what
I wanted them.
Terrifying thought
yeah,
for either of us.
I know. If I wanted them to become an ultra runner, here's the question. What profession would I push them towards? That just shows what a terrible parent I'd be.
Yeah, I would push them towards veterinary surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Just so we know, Jared Campbell is an engineer.
Okay. Cool.
They're all fucking engineers. I know one of them is a dentist. One of those Barclay boys is a dentist.
Right.
But again, that slips kind of into the medical profession situation. Yeah. Basically, medical profession, whether it's animals or humans, that is a big pool of people that are very, very good at ultra running.
Yeah, the other thing I had was researcher, actually, because a lot of people like Megan Roach, Lizzie Hawker, Robin Cassidy, Sarah Mack, they're all researchers as well. And I wonder whether that. Sorry about the dog. Sorry.
Oh, what is he doing? He sounds like he's having a dream.
He's out. I don't know. Just but there's people in the Airbnb next door, so he's just going to bark at them all day long. Yeah. So yeah, research as well. So maybe it is that kind of scientific mindset. You know, understanding of physiology, like being quite driven, being used to kind of working long hours, problem solving. Because that's the thing, isn't it? Ultra running, it's not all about the physical, is it? It's kind of so much about problem solving, getting yourself out of a hole, you know, knowing when to, you know, adapt the plan, all those things, isn't it, that come with experience. So,
That's like, I think, the most important bit. Like, I mean, people are like, that's 80% mental. I'm like, yeah, but you do have to, your body has to be fit enough to be able to carry you across the fucking terrain that's in front of you. But you're absolutely right. And if you don't, I've seen this in the last few weeks with a few of my athletes. If you don't have that problem solving ability, you're fucked with a capital F from the start. If you believe everything you think, you're fucked from the start. And I think with those sort of people, the engineers, doctors, the vets, instead of judging what they see in front of them, they're constantly asking questions about what they see in front of them. So they don't take what they see in front of them as what maybe, you know, you might see a dog has been hit by a car and think that's the end of that. But the vet will be like, I'm curious, I'm going to ask a load of questions and solve this problem. And I think that's going to be really helpful in endurance running. So I think it's any medical profession, really, isn't it? I wonder what they do to them. Maybe we should ask them. They're so cagey. They won't tell us.
Well, the other thing as well I was thinking is that community aspect. It's like, so for instance, we know like Sam Rickman and Sam Lissau used to work together in Malawi, didn't they? And they formed this little band of ultra runners and then they all kind of support each other. And I don't know if you've read the Matthew Syed book, I think it's called Bounce, where he talks about these kind of particular situations where, for instance, there was like he played table tennis for GB. And in his street, there were loads of people who were really into table tennis. And they had a teacher who was really into table tennis and set up this club. And the club had a really small room, so they couldn't swing their bats back very far. So they had to have really fast reactions and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was like all of this particular set of circumstances, you know, you have some innate ability, but you have the environment in which it can thrive. You know, you have that kind of community, the people around you that push you. So I wonder whether, I mean, you see it in the lakes, don't you, that there's, and in Scotland and places like that, that there are kind of little communities of people who all run together. Mm-hmm. You know, like Sabrina's got her little band of people. I'm sure Emma Stewart's got her band of people. You know, so maybe there's a part of that as well, that if you're within a particular community, whether that be by profession or by area or whatever, that you all kind of support each other and that some really, really great, great runners kind of come out of that.
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking about the times that me and you go running with Hannah and Sam.
Yeah, it doesn't really rub off on us, does it? Maybe that's it. Maybe we
it's
need
not
to.
Off, isn't it? But do you know why it's not rubbing off on us? Because they're so far ahead, it can't rub off on us.
Yeah, that's true.
Float back on us, like, but then the wind.
If we did, I used to be part. Well, I've always been part of a running club for years until the last sort of year or two, And I always ran, like running with people who are a bit quicker than you. That's a really good way to kind of, you know, get better yourself, isn't it? Because otherwise you'd just be running on your own. There's no point in being in a club. So if we did run with them all the time, I'm sure we would get quicker.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's when I run with people like that, and when I go out in groups of people like that, I do. It sounds like you push yourself without even realizing you're doing it because you're trying to keep up with having a conversation, or you're like, oh, well, they're going to jog up this hill, I'm going to jog up this hill. Like, it does really, really help. And it also gives you great confidence too. Things like running downhill, when you watch those people run downhill, you're like, oh, I could do that. It just gives you like a bit more. Whereas when you're on your own, it's like, oh, fucking, I'm like Bambi on ice, like going downhills. So interesting stuff. Good investigations. If you, listener, have an investigation you'd like us to do, then please do email, DM, VM, EM, PM us, or ask us in IRL in real life. And if you've got any comments on our investigations, or if you think that we've got it wrong, keep your mouth shut. Okay. You're going to go off to Italy. We're both going to Italy soon, aren't we?
Yeah, in 2 weeks. 2 weeks on Friday. We're going to Italy. Yeah.
Excited?
Yeah, I am really excited. Really excited and slightly terrified. But I quite enjoy this bit, the kind of planning bit and getting everything together bit and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, no, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. Are you looking forward to it?
Kind of. I'm excited about
Kind
Italy
of.
because I don't know what to expect. No, I am excited about it. I'm excited about having a week on holiday with my friend. But well, when I see my friend. Yeah, I'm not running it, obviously. But there's so many great people out there. It's going to be like the greatest party ever. Like you, the Damien lot, the Jack's going to be there. He's doing Little One Top Drat. Is it called Top Drat?
Top drop, yeah.
Well, Jack Scott's there
A
doing Top
little
Drat.
one. It's 100K with 12,000 meters of
That's in
ascent.
this one.
Yeah,
Is that the one? Is that the one that Crystal's doing as well?
Crystal and Rich.
Right,
Yeah.
Crystal and Rich doing Top Drat. Every time I talk to people about going out to Tour de Géant, there are more people that are like, I'm going to go and do that. I'm doing that, and there's just going to be little pockets of people in Courmayeur who are just incredible. I feel like it would be like walking down the street, high-fiving everybody. So I'm excited about that, but I'm also a little bit worried about that. I'll get there and I'll look at it and be like, oh, everything I've ever done means nothing because look at these fucking mountains. They're scary and massive, and I do want to see if I can have, go on some little walks and hikes and stuff up them just to see what they're like. Because I'd like to be able, I want to be able to go and see those places, but I just don't. I can't ever imagine that I'll ever be good enough to go and run on those things. So be interesting. But I'm excited about supporting you. Excited about seeing you finish, and I'm excited about seeing you start. And excited about ringing a cowbell. I'm excited about the banner I'm going to make out of glitter and pom poms and glue. I'm excited about the fly pass and the balloons and the clowns at the end. I'm excited about the topless bus parade through the town. All of it.
Great. Okay. Yeah, it's just different, isn't it? It's different running. I don't think it'd be massively different to what you do in, like, say, the lakes or Scotland or Wales or wherever. But it's just higher mountains, isn't it? And like, I think the main difference is people are kind of excited about it and they don't go, "What are you doing? How have you run?" But that's silly, isn't it? They're all like outside their houses ringing cowbells and playing trumpets at 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's just like a big party.
I've also never been to an event like that. So I've never been to UTMB. I've never been to anything, any of the European races. I've never been because I'm very, very closeted.
Oh, wow, that's a big admission.
Like a precious stone. And so I'm excited to see how it's different. Like I don't go to big events. Maybe it'll freak me out and I'll have to hide. Yeah, I'm excited for you. I'm excited for everyone doing it. Good luck to everyone doing it. And I'm sure we'll have a right old good time. And I'm going to give a full update on the gelato, pizza, and cheese that I managed to eat while I'm there. Of which there
Cool.
will be a lot. Great. Thanks for your investigative help.
That's okay.
See you in a month.
Yeah, see you in a month.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Bailey and Harding Ultrasound System sponsored by Innovate. We would absolutely love it if you could just take 1 minute to visit the BritishPodcastAwards.com and vote for us in the Listener's Choice Award because you're the listeners and we know that this is the choice that you want to make. It's the only choice, it's the best choice. Why not make it? Follow us on Instagram, it's Ultrasound System Pod. And on Facebook, we have a social group as well, so you can meet up with people in real life. We love you, we love everything about you. Keep your informations, your remembrances, your correspondences all coming in on the usual places. You can DM us, you can voice note us, you can do whatever you want. Email us if you want to. Send us a letter, why not? We love you. Please go and vote for us in the British Podcast Awards. Please, I'm begging you. Please. Thank you. Bye bye.